Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. Donald Trump is expected to officially receive the Republican nomination for president tonight. Party officials are planning a roll call vote from each state. Yesterday, a group of delegates tried to change party rules to protest Trump's nomination, but failed. Some critics of Trump have indicated that they might launch some sort of another protest tonight. Massachusetts delegates are bound to vote in proportion to the primary election results, with just over half of the delegate votes going to Donald Trump. We'll hear from a Republican analyst in a moment, but first, we're joined by a Trump supporter and the only woman of color on the Massachusetts Republican State Committee. Rachel Kemp is an investment banker from Dorchester and a Trump supporter. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
So tell me, what were you thinking yesterday as you watched the protest on the convention floor?
Well, I've always told everyone that Republicans have their rules, and Rules Committee met, and they voted in the rules of the committee, and those people were outside of the rules. They were attempting to launch a short-lived protest, and they really had nothing to bring to the table. It would have been one thing if they were able to have a candidate that everyone could have coalesced around, but to say not Trump and to try and break the rules was just not appropriate. And
okay.
They were actually quite wrong.
All right. Well, do you worry, though, that the dump Trump protest might actually damage the party's chances in November?
No. I think that there's beginning to I think that more people are beginning to hear a message that they can actually live with. And particularly if there's the strength in our national security, and also to put in more about economic policy and how they're going to make the lives of average Americans better.
So you see the party uniting around Trump. When the convention ends, you're going to be part of the ground game here in Boston to elect Mr. Trump. So what are you hoping to hear from the convention speakers and from Mr. Trump himself to motivate voters, especially undecideds?
I'm really hoping that they're going to be able to focus in on the economic issues, because that's what Americans are responding to right now. I happen to live in an area where we have one of the lowest per capita incomes in the city of Boston. So when I go out to knock on a door and say, you really should consider the Trump candidacy, I'm going to have to say, because this is the way that he will make your life better. This is the way that he will expand the economy so that there are more jobs and that you will fit into the fabric of the state and of the nation.
So have you heard those concrete proposals for him? Because that's what you need to appeal not only to Democrats who you're trying to win over, but to the 52% of the voters in Massachusetts who are not enrolled in any party, the unenrolled.
Well, and that's absolutely true. That is the message that most of us are waiting for, because
so you haven't heard it yet.
We haven't heard it as of yet. But tonight is supposed to be the focus on economics.
All right.
So hopefully it will happen.
Well, I want to ask you a sort of larger question, which is, what is it like for you to recruit people of color to vote Republican, particularly in your own community, Dorchester, which, as you described, has one of the lowest per capita incomes in the state?
Well, it's very interesting, because on my street alone, I used to be the one and only Republican. Now we have approximately 7 registered Republicans there.
Out of how many households, would you say?
Let's say that we have a good 25 houses on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, going out and recruiting Republicans, it becomes a personal message that you have to deliver. And number two, most people of color find out that they are naturally Republicans. They're conservative with their spending, they're conservative on their social issues, and they actually do believe in the Constitution. And those are part and parcel of the values that Republicans bring to the table every single day.
You were a delegate supporting Mitt Romney at the convention 4 years ago. Former Governor Romney has repeatedly criticized Donald Trump, and he's argued that Donald Trump's election could legitimize racism and misogyny. So as a black woman yourself, how do you respond to that?
Race is a very difficult issue here in the United States, and I think right now it's being used as an excuse for not having the kind of economic expansion that people expected after the post-2008 recession. We still feel as if we're in the recession. So people who thought that they were middle class are now bumping up against people who are absolutely in the lower economic rung, and they're saying, what happened to me? And race is being used as an excuse, and they should open up larger discussions or broader discussions around race, but not as an excuse for something else.
Well, do you personally or do your neighbors have concerns, though, about the sometimes seemingly race-baiting rhetoric that Mr. Trump has used, including when he referred to the federal judge Gonzalo Curiel's Mexican heritage as saying that that supposedly made him unqualified to rule in a case against Trump because of Trump's position on the border with Mexico? Do comments like that worry you?
Well, they worry me because Mr. Trump has no filters. So whatever he's thinking at that particular moment, yes. You just can't, if you're running for the presidency of the United States and to become the leader of the free world, you can't say everything that crosses your mind. However, again, I think that it's opening up that broader discussion and not saying that because you're a judge of Mexican heritage, then you're biased, because it's much like someone saying, well, you're a minority investment banker. No, that doesn't work, because I'm an investment banker first. I take all the same exams as everyone else. But you, unfortunately, again, the United States sort of colors people with a broad brush.
Well, let me ask you, did you ever support Barack Obama, or have you been a lifelong Republican? I'm wondering whether you were disillusioned, whether race has played any role for you in past elections.
I have been a Republican since the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day that I registered to vote. It was on the corner of Washington Street and Columbia Road, and the gentleman actually attempted to register me as a Democrat. And I said, no, 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 I am a Republican, because I am an independent person. I'm not asking the government to do anything for me. And that has defined my life. So it was a proud moment when Barack Obama was elected, because that meant, at least to me, that Americans had stepped away from looking at things purely on a racial basis. But I'm a Republican and will always be a Republican.
All right. In the few moments we have left, what will you do if tonight you don't hear the big policy statement about economics and job creation that you're waiting for?
I will actually wait for the Republican and the Trump campaigns to come back to us, the grassroots people, and I will begin to ask the questions and get the answers that I need to legitimately go out there and support his candidacy and knock on those doors to help him to win.
All right. Rachel Kemp is a member of the Massachusetts Republican Committee from Dorchester. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
So many Republican leaders in Massachusetts are also watching the convention closely and from their own homes. Only four of the Republican elected leaders in Massachusetts are in Cleveland, and they're all state representatives. Governor Charlie Baker is at the State House, quote, doing my job. The other state lawmakers are working on passing bills before the session ends in less than 2 weeks. It's a dramatic change from 2012, when Mitt Romney was the nominee in Massachusetts and all of its Republicans were front and center. One of those former delegates and supporters of Mitt Romney was Greg Casey. He's a former aide to Senator Scott Brown and a critic of Donald Trump. Welcome.
Hi, Indira. Thanks for having me.
So I want to ask you, Greg, what has been striking to you as you've been watching the convention, and what do you see as the biggest contrast from 4 years ago when you were a really active member and this time you've sat it out?
Well, the first thing I noticed watching the coverage is every time they would pan on, the camera would pan over to Massachusetts delegation, I noticed how few familiar faces there were. In 2012, there were clearly a seeming appearance of the establishment, as it's become known. And these are folks that I knew and I worked with, and they had been in the trenches for many years and followed politics through Massachusetts in the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't see those now. I see a lot of people who have just come forward just recently, who haven't been around, haven't been in the trenches. They feel very passionately, and I certainly don't fault them for that. But these are folks who came forward quite possibly because of Donald Trump.
Well, that observation that you're making could cut both ways. On the one hand, it's always good to have new blood in the party. But what you're saying sounds like you're observing kind of a fracturing of the party.
I think that's possible. But I also think there is a lot of hope that these people will be around for the long haul and not just for this one particular moment in time with Donald Trump. And I think that this is something that is
meaning that you hope they will support other candidates, other Republicans who aren't Donald Trump.
I absolutely do. And I think we saw a lot of these folks who may have been independents fairly recently, and they voted in the last Republican primary. So we know who they are. We know where they came out in greater force. And I think it's important that we know what their issues are. And it's important that the party does adopt those issues. And so it's kind of strange to be at one time you would have the candidate be a reflection of the party, but sometimes the party has to be a reflection of the candidate. And hopefully Donald Trump will use those issues and ride those to victory.
Well, let's talk about that. You talk about the party being the candidate, the reflection of the candidate, or vice versa. Trump won nearly half of the Republican primary votes in Massachusetts. Something is clearly resonating with Republicans in the state. What do you think it is?
I think what Rachel said was pretty accurate in that his lack of filter is both a negative and a positive in a lot of people's minds. I think people at this point are so sick of the political speak, the people being too rehearsed, too scripted, too concerned about what the special interests have to say and what the media punditry has to say and what the headline is going to be. Donald Trump, whether it's for good or bad, he doesn't care about that. And I think people, even people who are as harsh as critics, at least find that aspect refreshing.
All right. Well, I have to ask you a more difficult question. We may not know the answer for several years, but is Trump's success in the party a sea change in what the base, what the voters want? Or is it an aberration in this cycle because he's a popular former reality TV star who's just captured the popular imagination?
Yeah, I from my perspective and from the people that I've spoken to, they're not as interested in Trump as a person as much as Trump, who is bringing the message. They don't really care about the reality star, the celebrity. And I think that in the past with Mitt Romney, people really cared more about the individual. They liked him as a guy, and what he had to say almost was a footnote in a lot of regards. It's the other way around, I think, with Donald Trump. His message is resonating, and I think we're seeing a lot of people come out of the woodwork who really never responded much to what the Republican message may have been, but he's saying something that does speak to them, and we can talk about whether it speaks to their fears, whether it speaks to other emotions. But it's quite clear, whatever it is, it's getting them off the sofa, and they are getting out to vote, and they are coming forward. We saw it, and the question is, are they going to continue that into the general election?
Well, that is, of course, the $10 million question, and some people in Massachusetts politics have compared the excitement and the energy around Donald Trump to the excitement and energy around Senator Scott Brown when he won that special election back in 2010. But part of Senator Brown's success was because of voter anger and frustration, particularly around the health care law. The key issues were health care, the economy, the way Washington is working. Doesn't that sound like the same kind of anger and frustration that's driving Donald Trump supporters?
It does. But one thing that I noticed that took place with Senator Brown was that he attracted people, like you said, who had their very different issues. And he was just seen as the opponent to the status quo. And if Donald Trump can bring together an entire coalition of everyone who has whatever grievance they have, whether it be concern on foreign policy, whether it be jobs, whether it be the police unrest or whatever, you as you said, you are getting a lot of people who are angry. And if he can hold those people together, I don't think people were quite as angry in Senator Brown's race as I'm seeing now. It's like that on steroids. And the issues back then were far less emotional as they are now. When you talked about Obamacare, that was a big factor. There were other certain things like, you know, Dodd-Frank was on the horizon and other things. So those were kind of more drier issues. And a lot of just the fact that back then the people thought they were getting it stuck to them. I don't know whether it's the same feeling now.
Well, Scott Brown obviously won your support. Donald Trump has not been able to win your support. So I wonder, do you think that the so-called establishment Republican leaders in Massachusetts, including yourself, will ultimately get behind Trump, or are you all going to sit out this election?
I will absolutely be voting for the Republican nominee. There's no question about that. I never said otherwise. I was a Rubio supporter, and I was a John Kasich supporter as well. I think they are more in line with the way I look at things as a Massachusetts Republican, but I'm also a member of the Republican State Committee, so I will be voting in the Republican for the Republican nominee, that's for sure.
So even though you didn't like him the best, you're still able to live with Donald Trump.
It's happened before, and I know a lot of people who feel the same way about Hillary, who were huge Bernie Sanders supporters, and I think it's actually a little bit more of a struggle for them, quite frankly.
So what are you advising Republicans in the down-ballot races to do, to either appeal to Trump supporters in Massachusetts or to try to be a bit more bland and not take a position, since there's certainly some Republicans or undecideds who Trump has alienated?
The thing that I would tell any other candidates other than federal offices, run on your own issues, your own district. You know your people. You know what they're talking about. I feel badly for any candidate for local office running for state rep or state senate who gets cornered on issues like the TPP or something on trade issues or any federal stuff, because you are going to get people to ask them about that. It's irrelevant, just as the presidential race should be irrelevant. They should run on their own merits and their own issues.
Greg Casey is a former aide to Senator Scott Brown and a former delegate for Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Indira.
Stay with us. We're going to have a lot more coming up, including MIT researchers testing the quantum theory in a new study that might answer some of Einstein's questions. I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and you're listening to Radio Boston.